Well, this is a privilege, and I am excited and pleased to have this opportunity to share with you thoughts on coaching. In the back of your book, there is a section on coaching, and you can read it at a later time. These are notes from Dan that will give you a little bit of background about this. I had never heard of coaching until 8 months ago. And my son introduced me to it. This is a phenomenon that started in the corporate boardroom in the 1980s, when a few executives would hire costly personal coaches to kind of give them that extra edge over the competition. And as time went on, it has evolved into many variations, mainly centered around a half an hour phone call once a week. Person that we coach makes the call, and so we have a little schedule, and they send us an update on the facts the night before, and we're all set for it the next day. And it's just I don't know if I have one of those updates with me or not. I think I do. Yeah. A weekly update. His facts through to me, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. But a coach might consult on anything from getting out of debt to becoming effective and balanced in their professional and personal lives. And the proponents of this say that the field is primed to explode across America. I talked to several of our Navigator staff about this as I got interested, and most of them had not heard of it before and were fascinated by the concepts. A coach is sort of like a professional or personal nudge from the 90s. And they come along and just kind of gently prod people and say, well, stop dithering and just do it. And they bring out the best in helping people focus on their tasks and clarify their values. We're different from therapists and different from counselors. We're not trying to heal emotional problems, but trying to keep clients, as they're called in the professional world, on track towards their goals and just talk them through stops. We hold people accountable for the goals that they set. And what I'd like to do is just share with you this afternoon, in the few minutes we have, some of the things that have benefited me and that I've learned during my 7 months of coaching. And I want to read, since Paul mentioned Oswald Chambers, I'd like to read a quote from Oswald Chambers. He says, if you cannot express yourself on any subject, struggle until you can. If you do not, someone will be the poorer all the days of his life. You must struggle to get expression experimentally. Then there will come a time when that expression will become the very wire of strengthening to someone else. If you say, I'm not going to struggle or express this thing for myself, I will borrow what I say. The expression will not only be of no use to you, but of no use to anyone. Try to state to yourself what you feel implicitly to be God's truth, and you give God a chance to pass it on to someone else through you. So that's what I've tried to do. I've tried to just think before the Lord, Lord, what are the things that I've been learning from the coaching field. I contacted a friend of mine in Portland, Art Nana, Dr. Art Nana, who has his degree, doctorate in counseling, and is retired now, retired school teacher, and he's a personal coach. And I wanted to feel this thing exactly as the others were feeling it. So I asked him how I could get involved, And he said, well, you'll need to go through the intake session. And he faxed me a copy of the intake. He said, fill it out, and when you're finished with it, if you'd send it back to me, then we'll get together and talk about it. If you decide that you want to go into coaching, and I told him that the reason that I wanted him to coach me was in the area of coaching. He said, it'll cost you $175 for the 3 hours. And then if you want to be involved on a 3-month contract, it'll cost you $200 a month. Oh, I thought, do I really want to feel this? But I did. And I thought, I want to learn for myself what I can pass on to my navigator brethren. Not charging $200 a month and not charging $175, but sharing with them what's happening in this field. Think of all that we've learned from the field of computers, you know? And we're all using computers, most of us. Well, here's a field that was started in a secular realm. Let's learn from it, and let's see if there are some things that we can apply. So I paid the amount and went for it. And after 3 months, he said, I'm going to give it to you now for free, because I had begun to coach others at that time, and he was fascinated by some of the things that we were talking about. And hopefully we'll get this guy on track for the Lord, this old coach. Here are five personal benefits. Number one, I'm learning to give myself to the need of the person I am coaching. And remember, this is a 30-minute phone call once a week, and they're calling me. And they have identified for me during our intake session at least 3 needs. One that is a top need, and then 2 others. And I'm going to zero in on their needs. Last year, I met with a neighbor of mine, Larry South. Larry and Charity, his wife, are dear Christians, and they've gotten involved in our church now. And I began to talk to him about discipleship. He was interested, and so we began to meet on a weekly basis. And I gave him the whole 9 yards, you know, the verses and the quiet time and how to witness and the wheel and the hand and the foot and everything I knew. And you know what? It just didn't work. I wasn't successful in that time with Larry. And he's a dear guy. And the problem was, it was my agenda and not his. I didn't realize that. A little later on, earlier this year, I gave him an article. I was headed out to the post office box, and he was out there. I gave him an article on coaching and said, you might be interested in this, Larry. And he said, okay, and he took it to his home, and in about 2 days he called me, and he said, Ron, that is really interesting. Could we get together and talk about this? We did. And he said, I think I'd like to pursue this. I've got some needs. And so I said, okay, let's go through the coaching intake. And, of course, I wasn't charging him. And it quickly surfaced that he had 3 areas. One, in the top area, was related to his business. He had just changed jobs. And the second area was his wife, some needs in that area. And then thirdly, his finances. And I said, well, Larry, why don't we get together, and would you like to set a time? And let's work it into our schedules. And so we set a time. And I met with him for 30 minutes. Sometimes it went 40 minutes. Sometimes 50 minutes, since it was right at his house across the street. At the end of 3 months, we completed that time, and Larry wrote me a letter. Here's what he said. April 22nd, 1997. Dear Ron, I just wanted to take a few minutes and express to you the importance of our weekly coaching meetings and what it has meant to me not only in a business sense, but also on a personal level. Every time I had a need or a question, you had vital information that was very helpful for me in perceiving goals, setting goals, and also a clear path on attaining them. Your information was not only clear and concise, but you always brought something that I could relate to as well. I am glad that we were able to get together for those 3 months, and I am very happy with the information and results you helped me with. Well, that was encouraging. But perhaps the most encouraging thing was the fact that Larry has now initiated a get-together every Friday morning to walk and pray and just talk. And I call this discipleship by invitation. Not my invitation, but his invitation. When it was my agenda, I failed. And you know, I may have been wearing rose-colored glasses called disciple-making. Don't get me wrong, I love disciple-making and have been involved in it for 43 years. But when I was able to take off my rose-colored glasses called disciple-making and look directly at his need and begin to zero in on his agenda, something happened. And there was a dynamic there that was just explosive. And that's what I've been seeing time and time again now. I'm coaching 10 people in 7 states across America each week. And it just grows more and more exciting for this old 65-year-old white-haired man. Second thing I learned was that I had some needs in my own life. And by focusing on the needs of others, I began to think about some needs in me that I think I had probably just pushed aside. Let me explain. I've been with the Navigators now for a little over 43 years. And most of the time, I have responded to the needs of the Navigators. And I'm not being critical of that at all. This is the way God has led in my life. And I thank God for it. I remember when Doss asked me to move up to Spokane, Washington, and live in the home of Brian and Sandra Riles, and to start the GI Bill. And he encouraged Brian and me to take a course on shorthand so that we could become personal secretaries to travel with him and help him. So I remember Brian and I enrolled into Eastern Washington College of Education on the GI Bill, and I began learning shorthand. Now, God in all of his wisdom knew that that wasn't the right thing for me. He knew I was a little short-brained for shorthand. But anyway, the Navigators responded to the Christian Businessmen's Committee in Spokane. And they had requested someone to start a servicemen center there, and I had the privilege of working in on that. I think maybe Roger and Dottie Anderson had the privilege of being involved in that a little later on. Rog, right, Dottie? And several other Navigators, and those were great days. We went to Okinawa because the Navigators asked us to go to Okinawa. We moved on up to Korea because the Navigators asked us to pray about going to Korea. And I've got a whole list. And it's all been wonderful. And I don't have any regrets as we prayed over those things. And I could have said no. And I thank God for the Navigators. But I'm in a little different phase in my life. I'm 65 almost in June. And I think, who was it? Georgia said 70 years and 10, Georgia. Well, I thought about that in Psalm 90. I thought, well, I've probably got 5 more years. Now, if God wants to take me before that, he can, or if he wants to leave me longer, he can. But I can probably plan on 5 years. That's biblical. What do I want to do in the next 5 years? Now, I didn't check with Jerry White or, you know, Terry, or ask what they wanted. I just, God, what do you want me to do in the next 5 years? And that was a revelation. 10 things surfaced as Joyce and I prayed and thought about this. One of the things was, we have 4 children and 8 grandchildren, and I want to be a little bit more available to those kids and those precious grandchildren. I have to confess that I haven't always been there. And I'd like to finish up as a grandpa that they can remember for Jesus' sake in the next 5 years. And 9 other things surfaced. And I won't go into all that. But it has helped me to deal with some of my own personal needs. Meeting the needs and keeping the agenda of the people I am coaching has pushed me into new areas of personal development at age 64. Exciting new areas of personal development. My sister and her daughter, my niece, came to visit us. And they're both dear Christians. My niece was divorced about 3 years ago. Her husband left her for another woman. And that was a real heartbreaker. And Vicky is her name, and Barb is my sis. And I was thinking, you know, how can I help Vicky? I wonder if I could. I know she's struggling over her finances. Maybe I could help her with her finances to get a little better foundation. And I prayed about it. They were there with us for about 4 days. But the second day, as I was praying, I thought, no, there's another area in her life. She is 5'2" and 216 pounds. And I thought, that girl needs some help in her weight. And I wonder if I could talk to her about that. Judges 1:19 is the verse that came to mind. And that says, the Lord was with the men of Judah. They took possession of the hill country, but they were unable to drive the people from the plains because they had iron chariots. One man said to me, Ron, I know that God is with me, and I know that he's been able to do some things through my life. But you know, there's some things that have just never happened because there are 3 iron chariots in my life. And I remember jotting that down up there in the corner. 3 iron chariots. And I thought of Vicky, and I thought of the iron chariot called obesity and how it bound her. And so that next morning we got together and we talked about it, and she said, she just came unglued when I said, I'd like to help you lose some weight. She said, I thought you were going to talk to me about finances. And I'm so glad you're going to do this. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know, that was just his direction. So I've been helping her week after week. She makes the call once a week. And Joyce and I went to Washington Medical Center, a seminar on overcoming obesity, and began to learn. And I began to get some books and read about this. And you know what happened? Within a month, God gave me 4 other people who are obese to coach. The fellow that's coaching me, as I said, has his doctorate in counseling. He said, Ron, this is on a Wednesday morning during our coaching call. He said, I would never touch a person that is obese. You're swimming with the piranhas. He said, you know, I've learned hypnosis, and I can help people with the nicotine habit. smoking. He says, if they'll use the patch and they'll go through the hypnosis time, I can help them because it'll last about 2 to 3 weeks and the nicotine is beginning to free up from them, and I've had great success. But I've never had success with an overweight person. Well, that jives with some of the things that I was reading. In 1977, 1 out of 5 people in America were obese. In 1996, 1 out of 3. And Satan is systematically destroying Americans through this. And I just am so glad that God has led me into this as one of the areas to be developed in and to help people on. Because this is where they're hurting. And I'll tell you, I'm helping some navigators in this area. I'm looking for a paper here that I've written to these 5 people. And we call ourselves the ICB team. That's the Iron Chariot Breaker team. And here it is. Dear ICB team, I'm not sure why God has me coaching the 5 of you each week regarding weight loss, but he has certainly arranged it, and I'm delighted to be a part of what I believe he is doing in each of your lives, which is setting you free from the bondage to obesity and bringing your bodies under his control. I wouldn't have touched this a year ago. That's not my thing. I mean, I'm into quiet time and the wheel and the foot, and, you know. The reason for this letter is to get each of you praying for one another and encouraging one another with the victories that God is giving in this very difficult journey. I chose the name ICB Team because of the comments one of you made from Judges 1:19, and I quoted it, Iron Chariot Breaker. Then I gave him Psalm 108:13, through God we shall do valiantly, for he shall tread down our enemies. Here are some of the things you have in common. You have each been bound by the iron chariot called obesity. 2, each of you know and love Jesus Christ as your Savior. 3, each of you are resolved and motivated to be at the right weight for you. Time's gone. Anyway, I'll go on here. At the outset of this journey, the combined weight of the 5 of you was 1,184 pounds. That is about 237-pound average. You plan to lose about 277 pounds. That's an average of 55 pounds each. So far, you've dropped a total of 30 pounds, so you can see we're just 1/9 of the way. Then I ask them to encourage each other by sharing with me so I could share with them. I'll send this out once a month. I shared with them 4 prayer requests. One of the prayer requests is that some of the diseases that go along with obesity won't chew them up and kill them before we get them through this thing. Personal development. Well, the 4th thing is there are no geographical boundaries. Man-to-man and face-to-face were somewhat synonymous to me, and I'd never thought of coaching over the telephone. But it's opened up a whole new world. And if I grow older and my knees get creaky and I can't get out with the troops like I used to, I can still talk on the telephone anywhere in America. And God may even extend it to overseas. So it's so exciting on that. I know some of you have been doing this and using the phone and have already been, you know, doing some of these things already. And I'm not trying to say that, you know, that's just what, for me, this is what's happening. This past year, I've traveled to the round tables and had a few minutes to talk about recruiting. Been to 8 of the round tables. And during that time, I've been able to keep contact with coaching in 5 different states. It's great. Well, there are other things that I could say, but I want to just close it off. There's so much. This is such a great field. We need to distinguish between, you know, just helping Christians. And I'm touching people now that I never would have had the opportunity to minister to before. And I'm just touching the tip of the iceberg. When these 10 including Larry South, begin to network with others about how they know someone that can help them on a 30-minute-a-week phone call, this thing is just going to go. My son in Anchorage has a friend up there who's in spiritual trouble, and Nate called me and he said, I've got a guy, Dad, you need to coach. Well, this will probably be my first non-Christian guy, and I'm looking forward to that. On March 25th of this year, there was a conference on aging. I wasn't there. Recently, C-SPAN played a video of the address. And some of the things that stood out, most senior citizens have a mentality that says, I want my cut. I've worked hard and deserve what I earn. They're spending their energy on themselves. The average senior citizen spends 48 hours per week watching television. 48 hours per week. They feel no responsibility to the next generation other than their own children. Most of their conversation is centered on self. They visited senior centers, and the center of it was me, me, me. They're isolating themselves away from the community and senior centers and so on, and most do not have a sense of involvement that provides meaning and purpose. They believe that they have, that what they have learned has no value because they have no place to go. The culture says, no, we don't want you. So they withdraw. It's easy to roll over and join the majority on the brink of emptiness. And God forbid that we as navigators would do that. You are such a reservoir of wealth and experience. And we have so much that God has given us. God, help us to pour it out to the end of the race and not fall into this majority. Health can be discouraging, and that can bring about a disconnect. But it doesn't have to, because we've got the phone there that we can talk. Many have a mindset of materialism. They have their money and their values lean towards materialism. There's the fear of change, frightened over trends in America, afraid of risk. So it's the extended family that's their security blanket, their grandchildren, etc. They're the most powerful lobbying force in America, and they're centered around me. If none of this applies to you, I can take you to 50 people that it does apply to. Personal coaching is one way to access them and to get them involved in our generation. And I believe that it's on the cutting edge of what's happening right in America, certainly on the cutting edge of what's happening in my life. Thanks for the opportunity. We want to just open it up for some questions. And Bob is going to come up and help me. And yes, Dave. Sure. When I was going through my intake with Dr. Nana, he said to me, I'm not sure you will be able to coach anyone. He had my attention. That was a shock. I said, why is that, Dr. Nana? Well, he said, I have listened to your background during this intake, and intuitively, what I hear you saying is, it's your agenda. We don't do that in coaching. It's their agenda. I'm not sure that after 42 years, you can make the shift. Immediately, as he was talking, I thought of 1 Corinthians 9. I'm become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And I thought, he's right. That's my agenda. And I don't apologize for that. But in coaching, it's their agenda. It's what's on their heart. And that's where we help. And of course we pray for them. And we trust that God will open up their hearts through this and give us those opportunities to take it a step further according to His will. But we're zeroing in on their agenda. And that's what makes the real difference there. Other questions?
Ron, is this something that can be done through email?
Yes, it is. Sure is. And some are doing it through email, Bob. I have a couple of letters here I didn't have time that I'm doing through email with a young lieutenant down at Fort Hood and how it has helped his life. 5 of the people that I'm coaching are navigators and 5 are non-navigators. I found myself talking about this with navigators, and it just seemed like natural doors opened up that way. There was a businessman in San Francisco that I've known for many years, and I talked to him from time to time. And in chatting with him one day, he expressed a need, and I said, "Ivan, I'm kind of into a field called coaching. I don't know if you'd be interested, but if I could help you in that need, I'd sure be glad to. Let me send you down some information." He said, "Would you please?" So I sent him the information. He sent back the intake, and we're working on 3 needs in his life. He was so excited about this. He said, "You can't hold me to 1 half-hour a week. I want 2 days a week." So he's got 2 half-hours a week at different days. So it's kind of networking in that idea. It just seems like they come. I'm not charging any of them except my niece. And I said, "Vicki, I think if you put a value on this, it might help." And she said, "I was thinking of that anyway. Could I give you $50 a month?" I said, "Sure." And so Vicki's the only one that's doing that. I think that in all honesty, Aline, that when this thing goes beyond, there may be some opportunity for tent making or bivocational. I'm really not thinking about that. But I think when there is value added to it, especially with people that we don't know so well and are hooked up within the ministry, that it may add to the importance of it. You know? Yes? That's where they express their goals, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's all written out. And we help them and talk them through that. We give them a little test. No, we don't. We do that personally, but when it's at a distance, we do it on the phone. And I've spent several hours with several people going through their intake over the phone. Yes?
How do you, if we were interested in doing this, how do we get hold of that intake?
I'd be happy to talk with any of you, as Bob mentioned earlier, anytime during this seminar. Love to.
Yes. How do you handle it when somebody comes up with a need that is sort of outside of the comfort zone?
I appreciate you asking that one, and that's an important question. During the intake, when their needs surface, and they will surface, if I can't meet his needs, I just tell him right up front, "I'm sorry, I have no background in that field. I can't help you. However, I know of a couple of people that may be able to help you." And that's one of my dreams kind of in this, that we'll have enough navigators that we can network with each other. Some have got, you know, great experience in different fields, and we can say, "Well, I know another guy, another gal that can help you on this." And so I'm looking forward to that. And if we can help them, then we say, "Well, I think I..." And they also have the privilege of saying, "Well, I don't think I'll go ahead with this."
Question?
Yes, Warren?
Basically limited to the 3 months or the 24
meetings? We sign a contract, Warren, for 3 months, and that is so that at the end of 3 months we can evaluate, and if I feel that we ought to end it there, it's a gracious way to end it. Or if he feels that he or she wants to end it there, they can end it. So, or we can extend it, and I'm on my 7th month now, so obviously it can be extended.
Majority of the people you've helped 3 months, you and they both feel you should extend it?
I've helped one person, Larry South, through 3 months, and at that end of that time, we stopped. The others are, I think one is about approaching 3 months now. So I think it's just case by case. I don't have any more experience than that. Yes?
Is this always with the same gender?
No, not at all. I think what we want to do is we want to raise up men and women coaches.
But all of yours right now are men?
No, I have one woman, my niece, the 216-pounder who is now 205 pounds. When she gets to 195, according to the books, we level out for 6 months and let her metabolism stabilize. So we've got a plan. She's reporting in every week. Good accountability.
Ron, could you speak a little bit to the certification and the possibility of the bivocational aspect of this?
What we would like to see is, at some point in time, a navigator coaching institute where we are actually training navigator staff, maybe more than just over the phone like I've been doing, but having an institute where you can come and take a 3-week course or something like that. And we're looking at the possibility of certification so that when you're asked or I'm asked, well, what are your credentials in this? Well, I have to say, well, I was in the Marine Corps, and I graduated, you know, I have my PhD. That is, I can't even remember what that is now. That's
Post-hole digger.
Yeah, post-hole digger. Yeah. Anyway, I graduated from Kellogg High School. To be able to say, I'm with an organization called the Navigators, and I am a certified coach, lends a lot of dynamic to this and a lot of credibility. So we're looking at that possibility and praying that way.
Ron, would you comment on the New Age
people? Yes. The New Age people are mainly the ones that are controlling the coaching field in the secular world. And we want to take that into the Christian realm and take the things that have come out of this and use them where we are for Jesus' sake. So many coaches have New Age background. The one that I have is not a New Ager, but many of them do. Jerry, I think that if you are able to take your rose-colored glasses off and look at the need of the person, then I wouldn't make any difference between coaching and mentoring. But if you're not able to do that, I would say that the distinctive of coaching is that it's need-driven. It's meeting the agenda of the person that we work with. Whereas mentoring may be, but it may be our agenda as well. So I don't want to blur that. I think many of you have a clear picture on that, and that's fine already. But just to say mentoring and coaching could confuse the issue. Well, thank you. I think our time is up, and as Bob said, let me just say I'd be delighted to sit down and chat with any of you. And again, these are things that I'm learning. And keep doing what you're doing, but press on for Jesus' sake, with all of our hearts until He comes. Thanks.